This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
Thank you, Shannon. Michigan State University President Luanna Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis are your hosts for MSU Today today. At about 4:30, they'll talk with the director of the Spartan Marching Band, John Madden. Joining them in studio now is MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio. Here's President Simon.
Well, it's really our pleasure to welcome Coach Mark D'Antonio. We're so pleased to have Mark as a part of Team MSU. And I know people want to talk about next season, but I want to start sort of a little bit different place. You have two daughters, so you didn't have to confront the question about having a son play football. But what advice would you have for parents who have elementary school children who are really interested in football about some things that they could do to make sure that their kids have a really good experience?
Well, first of all, I think you just want to keep your children involved. I think if you can keep them involved throughout the course of their adolescent life, you know, you've got things in the right perspective. So whether it's football, whether it's soccer or basketball or tennis or cross country or any of the sports or any basically any type of alternative things other than school, I think you've got a chance to keep them on the right road. So that's the first thing. When you look at football, though, I think young people are playing football. I started playing in the second grade way back. I don't know if my pants fit or whatever, but that's when I started playing, and I think that it's a little bit later now. I think a lot of people are concerned about the safety issues, but I do think that that there's adequate padding and the collisions aren't as they're not like collisions in high school or in college or in the NFL. They're at a lower rate of speed, so I think it is a safe sport. And find a great coach and find people that care about young people and not so much about the winning and losing, but about playing the game and learning the game and really having a good time with it.
I think some of the challenges you see as a parent when you're raising kids and having two boys and a daughter, I think it's the same, you know, same for both, is the specialization. It's focusing your kids on one sport to exceed all expectations versus giving a variety and trying to do a little bit of everything, kind of the way that you grew up. But it seems like we live in a specialized world today in so many different aspects of our lives, and that's really penetrated into, I think, the way that kids are being brought up. They're being asked to just focus on soccer or just focus on football. And, I understand the value in some of that, but at the same time, providing broad opportunities, especially with the younger ages. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely right. I played, growing up, I was involved in football, basketball, and then track as well. So I switched sports every 3 or 4 months, and I think that was the norm back then. I don't think that's the case these days, and that's a cause for alarm because you get pushed, and then sometimes young people get left behind because you got the club soccer and you got the different things and the higher levels of things, and you know, if you're not continuing to succeed, and that's a very small percentage, a lot of young people get left behind, and I think that's where the problem lies. And I was recently on a Nike trip, and they talked about the aspect that for the first time in history, where we're in modern history, that our young people are scheduled to die 5 years earlier than we are, and that's from a lack of basic exercise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's great for that young person to continue to succeed and go to a high level of soccer or basketball or football, but you have a lot of others that just need to be involved and need to continue to have great experiences to become involved. So what I've tried to do with our football team, even at this level, is to make sure that everybody that's on our football team has value and brings value to our team. And, you know, that's tough with 105, 110 players, but we really try hard to give everybody a reason for being there and a reason to create passion in what they're doing, because if you've got to stay fully engaged, there's no question you've got to stay fully engaged.
I think that's a great point. I co-chair the Governor's Fitness Council with Dave Brandon, and one of the challenges there is, you know, the kid who just sits in the stand, or even worse, the kid who just sits in front of a screen, and it's multiple screens. It goes, you know, you tell your children to put the phone down, and then they're picking up their iPad, and you tell them to put that down, and they're watching TV or going onto the computer, and it's how do you motivate kids to step away from that world, that fictional world that I like to call it, and get out and do something active. You know, I asked my son yesterday to go out and shovel snow, and his reply is, "It's too wet, too heavy, can't do it." And it's motivating kids to get over that edge that, you know, hard work is rewarded, hard work is good, and that's a challenge. But staying active is so important with young children.
You know, I tweeted from I was on this Nike trip, so I tweeted from there. You know,
it's a big thing.
Just active now on that, but. I did do that, and I hashtag designed to move, and everybody thought we were getting new uniforms and et cetera.
Right.
But, you know, if people will go on to, you know, Nike designed to move and watch that video, it'll speak to what I just talked about, and it's alarming. And so when we talk about young people, and we talk about people that are, you know, 10, 11 years old, just getting them out there and keeping them active and keeping them involved. And that's why when you're a coach, and hopefully a lot of people that are hearing this are coaching young people, very young people. It's so important for them to have a good experience. The video that you sent me about the young person from El Paso, the high school player from El Paso, that just speaks to that. But it's so important that they have a positive experience and they grow from that and they stay passionate about what they're doing. And hopefully they exercise for life.
When I was at a residence hall recently, I got students all these questions, and I said, "Well, do you all have pickup games?" He said, "Sure, we go have video games, and so we have people all over the world who we play with." And so their definition of a pickup game is sort of the video version of it, and you have all these people, and it's really fun. And I was thinking, well, it really is sort of going outside and finding five people to play with.
A nation of great conditioned thumbs, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me sort of shift gears a bit, and we talk a lot about sport being a way of creating leaders, but it just doesn't happen overnight. So as a coach, as your coaching staff, how do you think about, you know, making people leaders? Because not everybody can be a captain, but everybody has to be responsible and sort of lead others during difficult times. So what are some of the things that you do to help spark those leadership skills?
You know, what we ask our players to do what we do as a team, actually, is we vote on our 12 top leaders throughout the year five or six different times. So that's a constantly type of situation. They're moving in and out of leadership positions, and they've got to maintain that. But you know, even as far as our freshmen, as they come in, we're trying to put people in charge of different things and create adversity. And I think leaders are born out of adverse situations, and they're sort of thrust into it. I don't think anybody can sort of choose and walk in the room and say, "I'm going to be the leader here." You can appoint it sometimes, but, you know, I don't know if that'll, you know, even if you pick a head coach, that may not last over a certain point in time. Hopefully this one will. But
we intend to have you here for a very, very long time. I'm going to be hunched over with a cane going to Spartan Stadium to watch you coach.
That'll be exciting. Anyway. But, you know, I think our guys are thrust into leadership positions, in times of adversity, and they grow underneath that. And, you know, that's what's great about college football and this level of football. And when you come here, you have a chance to play at this level, and, you know, hopefully you're creating lifetime moments for them and lifetime experiences, and they can carry over and become self-sufficient men by doing those things. They've been under such intense pressure that when they have to go in front of an interview or do something later on in life, that this has prepared them for that. But we're constantly talking about leadership. I think that's the key to success. If you have great leaders, you're going to succeed because that creates great chemistry.
When you hear the phrase college football, college sports, NCAA, student athlete, what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind about the industry that we work in, the values, maybe some of the aspirations on where you'd like to see evolution in the future? But, you know, there's so many great things about college sports. I'd like to know what comes to the top of your mind when you hear.
Well, when I hear NCAA, whatever sport it is, I think a high achievement. I think it, other than the professional level, the highest level that you can possibly get. You know, when you talk about Division I college football, high level, a lot of pressure, a lot of excitement, a lot of media exposure, things that everybody dreams. you know, and really that's what you're dreaming for when you're that young person that I talked about earlier.
I think our, you know, I kind of view our jobs as opportunities for young men and women to come in and leave better people. And that can be athletically, but it also can be academically, socially, mentally, how well they're adjusted as an individual. And there's a lot of pressure at times to pull you toward what I would term more of an athletic professional venue that you're operating in. And, you know, I don't think at times everyone understands the thought process that goes through in making decisions on all of those spectrums. On discipline, on punishment, on achievement. And those are things that I've sat back and watched you deliberate over with the intent of making the individual a better person at the end of the day. And I don't know if you have any comments on that, but I think you're fabulous at looking at the big picture and the perspective and coming out on the other side with a positive outcome.
Well, thanks, Mark. You know, I started coaching way back, or decided that I wanted to be a coach because the coaches that I had impacted me as a person. And this goes back to when I was young, a 10-year-old or 11 or 12. And it's continued really throughout. And then I was fortunate to be around coaches as I grew professionally, fortunate around coaches when I was a college player. But because of that, our goals really have been shaped around having a relationship with our players for the rest of their life. And I think if you just take that one little statement and do that, then you've known that it doesn't mean they've succeeded athletically, but it means that you've been there in the tough times for them and you've tried to help them overachieve and try and do something with their life. We want to help them launch their career as individuals, whether that's in professional sports or whether that's in business or teaching or something else, but we want to help them launch their career. I think that it's very important that they get their degree, so that's a big part of this. And, you know, obviously we want to win and win championships and all the things that are exciting with that. But we want them to have a platform as they leave here. And if they can do those things, those four things, you know, they're hopefully going to be round, you know, a little bit rounded as a person. And, again, you look back and you ask yourself, what are you? You're a mentor, you're a teacher, whether you're the president of the university or whether you're the athletic director. You're here for young people. And that's why you got involved in this type of environment that we're in, this educational environment. And I think of myself as an educator, not as a coach, but as an educator.
I want to shift gears away from that. And now that you're a part of the social media, I must admit I'm not. So I'm the Neanderthal in this group. How do you reacting to all of this sort of sense that people are interested in these little 5-minute, you know, blurbs that go all over the world and people are hanging for the next one?
You know, it's an interesting concept, I can tell you that. You know, I don't tweet that often, but when I do tweet, you know, it is me. And I'm not going to have somebody else do that for me. And, you know, I did think that I initially got involved with it because I thought it would be a way to get information out a little bit. And then also, you know, the landscape continues to change and you have to do the things we just talked about, but you also have to try and stay on the cutting edge, and you have to reach out to possible recruits and young people. And so that's what we'll do with it. But it is interesting. You know, it's just it's an instant world that I've – you know, it's so different from the world that I grew up in, and it's a world of instant information. And you have to try and keep pace with it, whether you're in education or business or athletics.
Mark's the one who's our guru.
I slowed down for a little bit, but I'm back. I'm back. You've accomplished things that have never been accomplished here at Michigan State, the program, you, your assistant coaches. What do you attribute that success to, and what do you see out there in the future as far as Spartan football?
Well, we've got great continuity on our staff. We've had a couple changes this year, but for the most part, the core of who we are as a staff has remained the same. So players come, they have an opportunity to learn in the same system. And because they're learning in the same system, they get more proficient at it. That's the game plan. And again, I think we're trying to meet those goals we talked about. So we're trying to be fair and consistent with our players. And, you know, we just try and finish things. But I think, you know, why we've been successful is really one word. I mean, chemistry. Mm-hmm. Chemistry with our office and the president, chemistry in the athletic program department, you know, with Coach Izzo, yourself, and all the other coaches, and support from, you know, I remember the first day I came here and to become the head football coach, and I remember saying that if we could just all go in one direction, if we don't splinter away and go in one direction, that we can be very successful here. And, you know, we've had our moments where we've read right on, you know, we've teetered and then we fall the opposite way. But, you know, we've had some good moments here too. But I think it's chemistry. I mm-hmm. think it's our players' chemistry. They reach the young players when they come in. They talk to them about how it's going to be done. They have a great deal of pride in what they're doing. We've tried to minimize pretty much our off-field problems. We've had some. But we've minimized them.
As I devote, they're kids.
Yeah. But we've minimized them, especially as of late. And the chemistry that we have as a group, you know, fosters positive thinking.
Well, I think when I have the task of going out to hire a coach, I put a lot of science, I put a lot of data, and I put a lot of research.
Did he have spreadsheets?
Into every hire. But at the end of the day, what I look at is the eyes of my three children and think about what I want this individual to be around my kids. And as you go through the coaches that I've had an opportunity to pull into the Michigan State family, that's kind of been the last component of the decision. And I can say without a doubt, anybody that's around you is a better person because they're around you. And we look forward to a long, healthy, happy run together.
Yeah, we're very excited about the future and what it's going to bring. And, you know, it's just, you know, watching the NFL Combine this last week and seeing what our guys do, and very proud of our players that are going off playing professional football, but also the guys that are going off like Ethan Rulin going to med school and those type of things. So, you know, our guys are making their mark, and, you know, we'll just continue to try and do that. And, you know, being a Spartan is such an important thing. I mean, it speaks volumes just in terms of how you carry yourself and what you need to try and accomplish. And that's the same for every big college football team or basketball team or athletic endeavor. But it's great to be a part of this, and we look forward to a long time here.
Well, and I would just to extend the your combine comment. Interestingly, Will Golson came to, I told you, an alumni event in Arizona as he was getting ready to go to the combine. And he talked about, you know, he didn't have to come. I mean, he just learned about it from a friend. It was no special invitation. And he talked about coming back and how important it was to come back, even though he was sort of left early because of whatever decisions he felt he needed to make for himself and his family. But that tie was still there. And I think if we can succeed in having ties with everyone, no matter where they end up in the program, whether they're starter or somebody who never gets off the bench, or somebody who has to leave early or feels they have to leave early for their financial success or their moment in time, then we've been really successful, or the kid who goes on to medical school.
You know, we constantly talk about being givers, not takers. And, you know, I miss Will. I miss him a lot as a person, miss his smile, miss him being around. Yeah. You know, he's got an opportunity to do something special. But I can honestly tell you that young man and many others like him really are why you coach. That's why you coach. It's the interactions. And, you know, you can win or lose a game, and that's one aspect of my job. But the wins are when you have a guy who comes back to see you. The wins are when you have an episode like that you experience. Those are wins, and those count just as much as any game on the field. Because you know, you're impacting young people, and again, that's why you get involved in this. If you're getting involved in this for the money, and I know I make a lot now, but you're in for a long haul, because winning and losing, that'll take care of part of the problem, but it's the impacts you have on young people, and it's the relationships that you have with them that keeps you in this business. And you know, I'm fortunate and blessed to be there.
Well, and that what separates us for a university to sponsor these kinds of programs, as opposed to being off and being the way in which the news comments about our programs, as if they're something apart from the core mission of being an educator. And I think this conversation puts everything back in perspective. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
That was Michigan State University Spartans head football coach Mark D'Antonio talking with Spartans athletic director Mark Hollis and Michigan State University president Luanna Simon. To hear their conversation again, please visit SpartanPodcast.com. In a moment, Simon and Hollis return to talk with Spartan Marching Band Director John Madden.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to a half a million Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Here's President Simon.
Well, it's really a pleasure to welcome John Madden, who most folks know as the director of the Spartan Marching Band, but also is an extraordinary musician in his own right and directs many other ensembles on behalf of the College of Music, I would say award-winning ensembles. So it's really great to have you.
Thank you very much.
And before we begin, you and Mark were talking a bit about how much hair you have. and I think that for our listening audience, if you shaved yours, it would not be much of a contribution
no.
to charity.
You could pick far better candidates who would make a bigger contrast.
But we also need to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
I mean, you've turned 50.
Yeah, my goodness.
And much of that time you've spent at Michigan State.
Yeah, this is the end of, over half of my life. This is my 24th year on the faculty, so next year will be 25. And four solid years as an undergrad, and this is home. You know, this is and it's a family tradition. All four of my other siblings all graduated from Michigan State, so the five of us have contributed to and learned so much from this institution. So yeah. I'm a homer, as they say.
I always say 40 is closer to 30, and 50 is closer to 60. So we're going to grow old together.
Yes,
right
we
here,
are.
East
yes, we are.
So I want to come back to the comment of home for a moment. What is it that makes for you Michigan State home? Because there are many people who have jobs for a long period of time who would never describe their place of work as home.
Well, initially sort of the reaction that sort of floods forward is and I mentioned my own family, my oldest siblings. I remember being a very little kid. We were on a vacation up north, and my oldest sister, Pat, spent her first year at Oakland University, close to home. I'm a Metro Detroit kid, and we left Northern Michigan to come to East Lansing because Pat was coming to Michigan State University. So we were all in the car, and I remember kind of as she had to do whatever maybe it was an AOP or maybe it was a visit to an academic unit. I don't remember. I was a little kid, but just hearing of what Michigan State University was. Because everybody's heard of it, but actually physically walking on the campus and reading the signs and seeing the buildings and getting the sense of the architecture and the community and just, you know, being an elementary school kid, it just sort of swarmed over me. Then, you know, fast forward, all the others come here, and then I go here, and had the great fortune to come back. I suppose it just all sort of floods together as, you know, the kind of place you want to be. Where else would you want to be? It's always been a very home-like feeling to me. I'll give you one example. I'm the director of the band. There's so many symbolic things that the band, I think, iconically represents for the whole school, but none more than the alma mater, the MSU Shadows. You think about the words in the shadows and the statement, "Beneath the pines will gather." So wherever I park my car, which is usually a different spot every day, the path to my office in the music building, I purposely walk underneath pine trees every single day. And I am not being sentimental. This is the God's honest truth, because there's something symbolic about that, which we do. There are pine trees all over our campus, but we gather and it just feels like something that is meaningful to me. And I try to get that message to the students as they have the chance to walk this path for a few years. And, you know, so it's a home for sure. It's a home to so many of us.
So you have a number of students you're accountable for in the Spartan Marching Band, a very large number. You want to talk a bit about the leadership characteristics of a band director of your students as they experience a Spartan Marching Band?
Sure. Well, it's a very important issue for me, is that leadership and leading by example is something that comes from the top of every organization, which the two of you do so well and admirably, and we're all appreciative of it. And in my small slice of that, you know, there are 300 students who are in the class, Music 114, Spartan Marching Band, and they represent an amazing, I think, university priority, which is connectivity. They are from every college across the landscape. They're from every major. Most people think there's a ton of music majors in there. They're not. They're maybe 10% music majors. And the leadership piece for me is teaching the lessons of what opportunity you've been given. For example, you wear this uniform and it bears the insignia of the university, Block S and the MSU shield and the athletic Spartan head, and only so many people are privileged to wear that insignia. Mm-hmm. And what comes with it is the responsibility to perform well, to behave well, to represent everybody that came before you. Spartan Marching Band alumni are a really great group, and they started this sort of long green line of tradition. And so before anybody feels like they're going to step out of bounds, let's say behaviorally, I spend a lot of time teaching the lessons of, you have a responsibility and we represent a whole that is far greater than just, you know, maybe the reputation of our band. They represent the entire university at large, because they get the privilege of jumping on an airplane and going to a bowl game and performing on behalf of, you know, the collective 40-plus thousand student peers, et cetera. So it's just really a high priority for me.
I think in one aspect you're a little bit like an athletic director, in that multiple sports, many events that you and your team attend. And as you go through that, you know, from my perspective, when I go to an arena, I like to sit in a lot of different locations, and I like to do what you reference with the pine trees, where you look at things that make events events, things that are very appreciated, but also things that at times are taken for granted.
Oh, yeah.
As individual things, but collectively come together in amazing ways. You know, I think our Is Zone is an example, right, of something that's extremely special and jumps out. But if you take components away from an event, if you take the Spartan brass away from a basketball competition, or if the kick step wasn't coming out in, mm-hmm, in Spartan Stadium, the event is not the event.
Right.
Are there things beyond the band, beyond Spartan Brass, beyond the Spartan Marching Band, that you look at as part of those special key inclusions, I guess, in what makes this university or Spartan Athletics collectively great, that you kind of sit back and just ponder and look at and are amazed?
Several reactions to that. Connected to the to my view as the director of the Spartan Marching Band, the list of things that I might think of at first are similar to the way I hope people think of the Spartan Marching Band, which is it's one of the university's points of pride. It's a hallmark, let's say. And within the band, there are many hallmarks, like you discussed the kick step, you know, this crazy entrance that we've been doing for 60 plus years.
And it's really hard.
It is hard to do. The coordination element is you know, welcome 80 new freshmen to the Spartan Marching Band. Now you have to learn how to do this.
Right.
And they look at you bug-eyed.
Yeah.
The Spartan Marching Band has this element to it where I think every Michigan State alum takes some ownership of it, whether they were in it or even really attended football games regularly. The music, the traditional music, etc. But for me, if you removed the university's founding fathers created this campus for us that we take diligent care of, and that path I described from where I park my car to walk into the building, it's the same kind of thing. If there weren't the caretakers and the original design for something to be in bloom every month of the year, and I think it creates the atmosphere for which we learn and work.
Mm-hmm.
And every campus has a different priority there. And ours is one where the campus atmosphere is central to every Michigan State student, staff member, faculty member's experience on campus. I can't imagine taking the same buildings and plopping them down somewhere else, the same people, the same good open door policy that faculty have, et cetera. But you would really miss the experience if it weren't embedded right here in this beautiful East Lansing landscape that the founding fathers made a priority out of.
One of the great traditions that Mark misses because he has to work on a football Saturday is the sort of the same route that the band takes every Saturday. You want to talk about that tradition?
Absolutely. You and I have spent many Saturdays together on that because it's become one of your traditions on game day, which we appreciate. And the president will march with the band. I don't think we march up front. We walk and we wave and we say hi to folks along the path. But, you know, Adam's
Does she kick step along the way?
We haven't gotten there yet. We'll work on that for this fall. Adams Field, newly named, recently named for the late, great Walter Adams, formerly Landon Field, used to be the rehearsal space of the Spartan Marching Band. Well, that didn't work out so well. And I think back in the middle 80s, they made that change because it was, you know, a neighborhood. And
it was also noisy for the College of Music.
It was. I remember clarinet lessons weren't always so positive when the band was blaring outside the window. So that space is a really sacred space. So for how many decades did the band rehearse there? And that, of course, became that was the home of the band to pour out of the music building and form up and march to the stadium. Well, that space is still our warm-up area, and then the march down Kalamazoo Street, past Sparty, and into the driveway of Spartan Stadium. I remember it being a really great thing when I was in the band. You know, the band marches the stadium to the street beat known as the Series, very traditional in its own right. But even in my time as director, I think it's changed dramatically. When I came here in 89, I remember the streets being pretty full. On a given game day, even a popular, a home game, a Michigan game or a Notre Dame game, you know, where we're just packed to the gills. But it's really become a must-do game day experience in East Lansing to be on Kalamazoo Street, because we see the folks 10 deep, mm-hmm. all the way down. And when our TV friends from ABC or ESPN or whoever come to town, I always try to say, I think you guys should film this. I think you should get your camera crew here and tape this, because if you want to see something unique in college pageantry, mm-hmm. put a camera up on Sparty, put a camera up on the upper deck, and get the band just sort of, you know, kind of migrating to the stadium and having the game day ritual for a lot of Spartan fans is to wait for the band to come through, and then you can go to your seat. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine a day where the band ever stops that parade route before a game, whether we're housed in the music building or there's a new music building or other spaces for the band. That's a sacred thing.
Let's talk about other spaces for a minute. At the present time, 4:30, right on the button, I have the opportunity to sit in my office and listen to the band practice beneath the pines.
Yeah.
And it's just a spectacular setting. There's obviously some demands that we have relative to the performance during practice and the turf that we have out there that we're exploring the feasibility of a venue that would have an artificial surface be kind of in line with where some other
sure.
programs are going. And I assume that's something that's, you know, I wouldn't call it critical, but close to critical for the future and be able to perform at levels. It's your classroom.
Absolutely.
And your classroom becomes very muddy at times.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure there's any grass surface in the world that would take the beating a Big Ten marching band can put on it. You know, right. The nature of what we do. We stand on lines, the yeah. same lines.
Yeah.
We have formations that are, you know, in this exact location. So the best turf growers in the world really can't make a space that we right. can't ruin.
Right.
But we spend a lot of time and resources refurbishing it every year, and we don't always get to that and all of that.
But what's amazing about those performances, you talk about the gatherings, is to see the number of strollers, to see the number of canes,
yeah.
The diversity of people that come out every day
yeah.
and watch the – I mean, it's a performance. To you, it's class.
Yeah,
it's a practice. But it's a performance to so many yeah. people across East Lansing, mid-Michigan, and the state that come in and watch that performance on that practice field. It's enjoyable and rewarding.
Yeah, I think it's become a real happening, a real campus happening.
Mm-hmm.
I would contend that I might be one of the few professors on campus who has to teach his class in the public every day. I think a lot of classroom doors are open. Please come in and see what we're doing in here. But I start, middle, end in front of the public every day. And
you get a few text messages from the ADA.
Yes, I do. Occasionally, Mark, my friend, will say, what are you doing out there? And I'll say, hey, I'm working here. But it is a campus happening.
They'll get better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what do you hear more often? You hear me whistle, stop the band, and say, do it again. And then he'll see me over in Jenison. I'll go, have you fixed that spot yet? Are they going to get this right by Saturday? So that's the whole point of rehearsal. But we're proud of that. And if there were to be a new turf field, I think it would even make the public – friends, fans, alumni show up, take in a band rehearsal. It would make it even a better venue for them to enjoy this, you know, one of the great Michigan State traditions. And there's nothing better in the fall than hearing the first sound of drums start up in the distance. And the next thing you know, football's around the corner. And, you know, I think we all know without that great football tradition, there would be no band. But it's really great to be a partner with them and to be at a place where it's you know, it serves all very well, and we have a great fit. You know, Spartan band traditions and our way of life, I wouldn't change it for anything. It has a belief system. And the students who are in it pass this great tradition down every year in the healthiest way, and I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud that they are marking time during their college career in a place that teaches them so many other life skills. And I think it's one of the great classes on campus, and the diversity of who's in it and the rest. It's just it's a great joy.
One of the things we do on the program is sort of have you step back as a parent, because you're going to have a daughter coming to Michigan
State.
Both
daughters now. Yeah.
And if I had a kid who I thought wanted to be in the marching band, and what advice would you give me as a parent to get my kid in the Spartan marching band?
Sure, that's a great question. And there are a lot of them out there, too. I'm never worried about the kind of student who's made it through high school and has been a successful student and participant, say, in a good high school band program, because they've already figured out the management of time. Because commitment to a high school band program is very much like commitment to an athletic team. Or a club that demands time and dedication and preparation. You've already figured that part out. I think everybody would agree that students who are on their way to Michigan State University need to know that we want you to participate in something else besides sleeping and studying and going to class, because there's an abundant number of offerings. And so you need that break. You need that 2-hour break in the afternoon to do something physical, to be part of, representing school spirit. Let's call it that. But the nitty-gritty of it is the best instrumentalists and performers, auxiliary performers, will make the band through an audition. And how do you start the path to a good and successful audition? You start with your high school band director and you say, please coach me up. I want to go to Michigan State, and I know the band has a great reputation, and help me set a course for, some discipline practice and practicing the right thing. So when I do that audition in early June, I'm successful. And I love it too when students email or call or visit and say, I'd like to audition for the band. What would you recommend that I do? And so we just shower them with all the, here are the resources and here are the excerpts, and we'll see you on June 8th or whatever the audition date is.
I think that's part of the, what I would call the Michigan State character, that what happens to be ready for an audition isn't a secret. That if you're an individual that may not be in the very best band program in the state but still want to do this, you can call, you
Absolutely.
Can email, you can have access to music, to things that would, if you work hard.
I'll give you an example. The drum line, the percussion section in the marching band is considered the best of its kind in the whole country. There's no question about it. And it's not an accident. And it recruits a high-level student over and over and over again. And I'm always amazed that they just keep coming out of the woodwork. Like when 3 great snare drummers leave, boy, are we going to find 3 snare drummers of this caliber? We're going to find 20 snare drummers of that caliber, and we're going to take the best 3. But the accessibility to how to be successful is shown in, we do help sessions on Thursday night, all second semester in Dem Hall. Their high school kids that drive a couple hours away to sort of work out with our drummers. And they stand there in Dem Hall and they drum together. And John Weber, the percussion teacher, creates these help sessions to help these kids get successful. It would be like quarterback camp in the summer. I mean, we want to identify the very best, and we want to help you get ready for it. So I think we help ourselves by just creating this accessibility, and it's just part of what we do.
Well, as the basketball teams, men and women, get ready for March Madness, I suppose the Spartan Brass is getting ready for Madden Madness.
Yes, we do. We have our own version of March Madness.
Get T-shirts and all that made. And
absolutely. Get ready for the trail. We send we've got our personnel lists all turned into to Peggy Brown and Shelley, and we're going to Chicago for the women's tournament.
It is one of my favorite times of the year because you get people from all the different areas that have worked together but not really close together, and putting these events on at the Breslin Center, all of a sudden tournament time comes and you're a family, and you're on a plane together, and you're moving together, and you're staying, the hotels are either together or close, it just becomes a little bit more appreciation and bonding for all the hard work that you've done all year. And we're looking forward to it once again. It's going to be one heck of a run, I think, in
March. It should be. Tom Izzo has a great tradition where, a lot of times this 30-piece band will jump on the airplane to go to wherever in the NCAA tournament, and the band will, and the cheer and dance team will, and the mascot will all be in the plane, probably in the rear of the plane, and coach will get on the plane, you know, when we're on our way. He'll come all the way to the back, and he'll shake every kid's hand.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for what you do. Thanks for what you do. The kids are just starstruck.
Yeah.
I'm starstruck. Here's coach, you know, and I just love that. And it makes those kids feel like, you know, hey, I'm going to play my trumpet at this event and go green. You know,
well, that's what makes this place great.
Absolutely.
Is the appreciation is all the way around.
Yeah, my only problem with the basketball tournament is on the bowl games, I go sit with them. And in the basketball tournaments, it's so controlled.
29.
Yeah. That I can't go over there.
Unless you and I trade credentials, then you can
I'll see if the committee will review adding the president to the band section.
That's one of the things that now they're on the committee, because I believe that it's a very important part of our karma for bowl games.
Absolutely. We have to spend at least the third quarter together.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Take care.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
That was Spartans Marching Band Director John Madden talking with Michigan State University President Luanna Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis. To hear this conversation again, please visit SpartanPodcast.com. And to hear the show again, please visit WKAR.org.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
I'm Scott Westerman from the Michigan State University Alumni Association with another observation from the Spartan Life. One of the regrets I have about the intensity of my great gig at MSU is that I don't have nearly the time I would like to spend with people who want to talk with me about career advice in person. I always start by guiding them to our superb MSUAA Alumni Career Services team. Our approach is a lot different than the resume polishers many of us may have experienced in the past. It's all about figuring out what you love and building a personal toolbox to help you get paid for doing it. On the occasions where it's impossible for me to sync up my schedule for a one-on-one, I share the high points in an email. And here they are. Number one, discover your passion. Life is always much more fun if you're doing something you love. Number two, pick your company carefully. Too many people jump into cultures that are totally out of sync with who they are. To paraphrase Jim Collins in Good to Great, first where, then what? What are your top five favorite companies? Why? How could you add value there? Number three, draw a map. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. Where do you want to be 10 years from now? The more detailed a picture you can paint of your current ultimate objective, the easier it will be to design a roadmap to get you there. To follow up on picking your company carefully, which organizations might have your dream job? Where are the entry points for your dream career? What are the steps others have taken to get where you want to go? Assess your assets is number four. Once you know what makes you happy, it's a lot easier to aim toward that end. How have you prepared for that life? Are there any additional skills you need? How will you create and promote your personal brand? Number five, build a productive network. Connect with people who are already where you want to be. LinkedIn's power isn't in the quantity of people in your network. It's the quality. One of the best things about LinkedIn's search functionality is how you can parse your network for the companies and job types you're interested in, and then seek Spartans who already work in these places. These are the connections that will be the most important to you. Read Keith Ferrazzi's Never Eat Alone. It's not only the best networking book on the market, it's the best relationship book out there. Number six. Add value before you are hired. Too many people ask me to help them find a job. In fact, we hire solutions and ideas, not people. If you have identified a company where you want to work, study it thoroughly.
What are their strengths and weaknesses? Who are their competitors? What is their biggest current challenge? Think of ways you can help them overcome their problems and grow more successful. Imagine that you are a consultant and have been hired to help them grow the business. What would you recommend? How would you implement your idea? What would it cost? What resources would it require? If you've done this exercise, your career conversations will be much more fruitful. This is being proactive, and it pays off. And what if the job you want doesn't exist yet? A growing percentage of our graduates are working in positions that weren't around 5 years ago. Some even discovered that their research reveals an opportunity to create their own gig. Don't be afraid to create yours. Be professionally persistent. You will likely get rejected a number of times before someone realizes your value. That's okay. Keep in touch with the people you meet who work where you want to work. Share helpful links and productive ideas with them from time to time. Don't swamp them with email, but share ideas of real value when you find them. If you have been able to learn about their interests outside of work, seek ways to help them improve the quality of their lives. We tend to be attracted to people who genuinely care about us as individuals. We are repelled by pests. Keep the faith. This is the most important thing. If you maintain a focus on your objective, listen and act on the feedback you receive, build a productive network, and find ways to add value, you will inevitably get the job you seek. Never lose your capacity for hope. So ponder these points. You'll be able to ask the "Can you help me?" question much more effectively. When you get that face-to-face with an advisor or mentor, the conversation will be much more productive. And in the end, you'll discover that the question isn't "Can you help me?" It's "How can I help you?"
I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Learn more about Spartans Helping Spartans at alumni.msu.edu. Join the MSUAA family, and you're instantly connected to our network of over 500,000 Spartans in every corner of the world. Whether it's community, connections, career growth, or class, that's what the MSU Alumni Association is all about. Join the world's largest Spartan Nation community at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.